Speaking on this program is Franklin Kemp.
The Old Testament is filled with familiar stories that sometimes we fail to realize all the excellent lessons and principles that are taught in them. I suppose one of the most familiar characters of the Old Testament is David. And one of the most familiar stories in relationship to the life of David is his battle with Goliath. Children learn that early in life. There are many things about it that are important, but I want to talk about a special principle that is illustrated in verse 39 of 1 Samuel 17. You recall the story how Saul and Israel were afraid of Goliath, who had challenged Israel. They did not believe as David did, and they were afraid because of the lack of faith. Goliath challenged them to send somebody out to meet him. David heard the challenge and wondered why there was no one to meet that challenge, and then he agreed to do so. Having agreed to do so, Saul was going to prepare him to use his armor and go out in his armor. Verse 38 says, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail," another mail. So he put on Saul's armor to send him out. But verse 39 tells us that David girded his sword upon his armor and essayed to go, for he had not proved it. So he untested Saul's armor. That wasn't his armor. That was an armor that belonged to somebody else. David had not tested it nor tried it, so he said. David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off. I think one of the important lessons of living for God is found in that statement. David said, in order for me to go out and challenge Goliath, a symbol of evil and one that defied God, I'm going to have to put on the armor that I've tested. Use the armor that I've proved. Use the armor that fits me. Use the armor that I have made my own. And that's the way that he went. And so he selected armor that he'd been used to using. Took his sling and some stones. Went out, and of course we know how the story ended, how that he killed Goliath. But that teaches us a lesson that we need to learn. Christianity involves fellowship, and that's a splendid blessing of Christianity. But there's a side to Christianity that I think we sometimes overlook, and that is the intense individual nature of being a Christian. And what David said about testing and proving his own armor has application to our own life. For example, in Galatians 6 and 2, Paul said, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." There's a shared responsibility. There are many ways, many things that we may be able to share with one another. Helping people bear their burdens and their heartaches and their cares. But then, also in the verse 4 and verse 5 of that chapter, Paul said, "Let every man prove his own work." So there is an individual responsibility that we have that no one can take over for us and do for us. There are some things that belong to us individually. We have to make them our own and use them for ourselves, or else there'll be no blessing in them. And that's the lesson that David is teaching here. So David then went out to meet Goliath alone. There are battles in life that we have to fight alone. There are battles that are ours, and there's no one that can fight that battle for me. And in order for me to fight that battle, there are certain things that must belong to my life individually. Nobody else can supply. It must be mine. And therefore, I need to learn that principle. There are some things in life that we have to learn to develop on our own. This does not discount what others may do and help us in certain ways. No, this does not discount what God may do. But we must put on our own armor and we must face our own battle. So I want to talk to you now about some things that we must make our own. And we have to test and prove them for ourselves. Nobody else can provide them for us. And I'm not sure that we have really learned this fact. First of all, let me remind you of the fact that I must have my own faith. No one can believe for me. No one can provide the faith that must be mine. I must possess my own faith. Preaching is not a substitute for your own faith. I can get up here and study with you, but if what I teach is the Bible, and your faith develops out of that, it will be because you take your own Bible and read and study what I have presented. And then after having read and studied that, you decide within your own heart and your own mind, I now believe that, not because that's what he taught in the pulpit, but because I've weighed and studied it and arrived at it in my own mind, and that's become my conviction. And there's no other way that we're going to ever have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I think sometimes that children have the tendency to try to allow their parents to provide their faith. And maybe sometimes as parents we try to provide their faith, not knowing better and not approaching it in the right way. But it's interesting to me that in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, in talking to Timothy and writing to Timothy, reminded him of his faith. He said that he believed, when I call remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, now look at it, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. And so here are three people that had faith. Paul said to Timothy, he said, I think that you have an unfeigned, genuine faith. That faith dwelt first in your grandmother, then in your mother. Now, how did that faith become Timothy's? I don't know how many times I have read 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, and I've heard other preachers talk about it, and thinking about the fact that here is the faith that belonged to his grandmother and his mother, and now it's Timothy, without ever stopping to think about how that faith became Timothy's. Well, it just so happens that the second letter of Timothy explains that. For in chapter 3 and verse 15, listen. He said, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. Where did Timothy's faith come from? From the Scripture. How did Timothy come to possess that faith? By his own knowledge and understanding of the Bible. That's the way that faith came to be his. And that's the only way that any of us can have faith. Until I get with my Bible and open my Bible and study my Bible and allow that to permeate my mind and control and motivate my life and my heart, I'm not going to have faith. Nobody can provide it for me. Nobody can give it to me. It'll be mine only when I come to decide that I'm going to study the Bible and apply it to my own life. The time comes in our life when every person has to choose for themselves what they're going to do. We have to make up our minds and decide. I want to have faith. Now, in wanting to have faith, I've got to make a decision. If I want to have faith, and faith come by hearing the Word of God, then I'm going to have to spend some time with the Bible. And unless I do that, I never will have faith that will provide for my needs and save my soul. I think sometimes we've forgotten this. We think that hearing lessons that are presented from the pulpit will supply our faith. Oh, no, it won't either. That's not sufficient. Not until you decide in your own mind, as a result of studying and thinking about and meditating upon the things that are said, and then allowing that to become your conviction. Not because you heard me say it, but because out of your own study you come to say that I know that's what the Bible teaches. I understand that's what the Bible teaches. I'm just afraid that we have allowed this to slip away from us. That comes a time when we must decide whether we're going to believe or not believe. That's a decision that we make. And with that decision comes the responsibility of being able to take our Bible and prove what we believe. We must prove it first by the Bible, and then we can test it in our own lives. Here's the reason that the lives of many people fall apart. Their faith is not their own. Their faith is a hand-me-down faith. They haven't taken the time to get down with the Bible and to study the Bible and then to prove to themselves and to their own mind and their own heart, this is what the Bible teaches. And because this is what the Bible teaches, I know that it's dependable and reliable. And I'm going to believe that and build my life upon that. And until we come to do that, we're not going to have the faith that the Bible talks about. This morning in my class, I discussed the difference between living by faith and living under the dominion of flesh. And here's a part of what it's all about. If I'm going to live a life of faith, where I'm going to trust God and live like God wants me to live and allow the Bible to influence my life, I might as well make up my mind that I'm going to spend some time with the Bible. Now, we may say, but I don't have time to spend with the Bible. Well, you don't have time to go to heaven then. You don't have time to build in your life the kind of faith that you're going to need to be able to test it in the situations that you're going to be confronted with in life. It's only when this book becomes a part of your very being and you come to know what the Bible says, and because you know the Bible says that, you believe it, and because you believe it, you're going to rely upon it. And whenever the problems of life come, then that becomes your state. That becomes the means by which your life is upheld. And there's just not any other way for that to take place. And so I'm raising the question. We're beginning the new year. How much time are we going to spend with our Bibles this year? Now, you can hear me preach every Sunday morning and Sunday night throughout the year. But until you get with your own Bible and do some studying on your own, when we come to the end of 1986, if God lets us live that long, your faith will not be one whit more than it is right this day. If anything, it'll be weaker. Because the test and the things that you are confronted with in life will affect it. It will decrease. And so I'm calling attention this morning to the fact that, like David, I'm going to have my own faith. It'll take my faith for me to be able for it to motivate, move, and lead me to do what I need to do. Nobody else's faith can do that. It'll be fine, I guess. No, it wouldn't be fine. I don't need to say that.
if it had been good, then God had arranged it that way. But we think that it'd be fine if somebody could do all the work, and then that could in turn produce faith in my heart. But God didn't leave it that way. God didn't make it that way. And we need to examine our hearts and search our minds. How much time did we spend in the study of the Bible? How interested are we in Bible classes, and how do we use Bible classes? Do we just sit there with our minds and expect them to be filled up without taking our Bibles and thinking as we're studying and weighing and saying, well, now, is that really right? Is that true? Is that what this teaches? And unless we do that and allow that to become ours, to belong to me, it's not going to help me. It's not going to produce faith. And so I have to make the choice. Do I want to have a faith of my own? Then there's just one way to get it. And that's to realize that you're going to have to study this book and come to know what's in the book. Why do we think that God gave us the Bible anyway? Just so preachers to have a book to read from? What does He want us to do with it? The Restoration Movement grew out of the fact that there were people that were hungry for Bible knowledge. They were tired and weary with the doctrine and the commandments of men, and they said, let's go back to the Bible. And I remember when I first began preaching, people would bring their Bibles and their pencils and paper, and they'd raise questions. You didn't just get up and preach and somebody say, well, now I believe that. I remember while I was on the radio program in Anniston, I later baptized a woman that lived down in Clay County. And after I baptized her, she told me this story. She said, I heard you on the radio, and every time I'd hear you, said it would just upset me no end. And I was determined that I was going to prove that you were wrong. Said I'd get my Bible down, and I'd begin to study it. And every point you made, I'd study it and see whether or not you're right. And said, lo and behold, after studying it, I'd find out, well, he's right on that one. And I'd listen to you the next day and said, I wouldn't believe what you said, and I'd get my Bible and say, I'm going to prove him wrong today. And you say, I tried and tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. And one day she went to her father and said, and this was a married lady, she went to her father and said, I've been listening to him now for 7 or 8 years. And I've been reading my Bible every day, following everything he says. And I've been trying to take this book and prove that he's wrong, and I can't do it. And she said, I want to know what I'm going to do. And he said, there's not but one thing for you to do, and that's to do what you believe the Bible teaches. And so I was in a meeting in Talladega. During the invitation one night, she came up and I baptized her. But now, how did that woman come to that faith? It was by diligent study and struggle. And that faith became so strong in her life that she is willing to separate herself from the whole past, including her family, in order to be obedient to the will of God. Now, that's what made the Restoration move. That's what brought the church back out of denominationalism and helped them find their way back to the Bible. And unless we rediscover this attitude and this interest and this concern, and unless we can produce this in our young people, the church is going to lose its way. And the young people are not going to be able to have the faith that will enable them to live like they need to live and enjoy life in its fullest. It just can't come any other way. Young people, you've got a choice to make. Now, you can refuse to study the Bible and go on your way and listen to what I'm saying and then pretend that you believe what I believe and what I teach. but you won't believe it. It'll be a secondhand faith. And it's not going to help you. When you get out in life and face what you're going to face in life with the struggles, the difficulties in turning away from the world and living like God wants you to live, that secondhand faith is going to fail you. And they're not only going to fail you in life, it's going to fail you at the judgment. What I'm talking about is a matter of life and death. What I'm talking about is what it takes to please God. And we're getting down to the taproot of what it's all about. We can let our religion just become a sort of a matter of ritual, something that we engage in as a means of pacifying God and to impress people around about us. But that's not the kind of religion that you read about in the Bible. We've got some decisions to make and some choices to make. And we need to make our decision and our choice at the beginning of this year and say, I'm going to take some time, and I'm not just going to read my Bible. I'm going to study the Bible. The word read, in the sense of the Bible, means to think again the very thoughts of God. Matthew 12, when Jesus said, have ye not read? Well, they'd been reading the law every Sabbath day in the synagogue. But Jesus said, you hadn't been reading. It hadn't made any impression upon you. You hadn't studied it. You haven't come to understand what these passages mean. And because of that, you haven't been reading. And therefore, there's just not any other way for us to develop a faith that will be ours and one that we can put on to use and go out and fight the battles of life. I just don't know how to do more to try to impress on all of us what I think is our greatest weakness and failure today. And it's a problem that we must solve. I had, in fact, there's a young man in the audience today, several months back, was talking to me, and he said, it bothers me about the fact that there are so many in the church who accept what somebody says and they don't take the time to study and to make it their own. And here he's one that had come out of, studied himself out of denominationalism by getting down with the Bible and studying the Bible and finding out this is what the Bible teaches and what I've done know what the Bible teaches. And because of that, he found his way. Built the faith that would lead him to obey the will of God. And now then he's saying to me, but I just don't understand why it is that those who are in the church today don't have this same attitude and aren't that concerned about it and are not that interested in it. And he sees that round about him. We mustn't let that happen. And where it's happened, we must correct it. So I hope you'll think about David putting on his armor. And he said, give me my armor. Let me have some that I've tested and some that I've proved. And I trust that as we enter into the new year that we'll realize that we need an armor that we can wear ourselves, that we make our own, and we begin with our faith. Tonight I want to talk about some other things along this same line related to it and that grows out of it, where there's that same individual characteristic, where it must become ours, not somebody else's. But our time's gone this morning. What about your faith? Is it yours? Are you a member of the church because of your own personal study like the one that I talked about? Or is it because of parents who are members of the church? And if they had not been, where would you be? Has it grown out of your own study? Are you here this morning and out of your own knowledge of the Bible and a deep conviction of what the Bible teaches? You know that you know that you know what the Bible teaches. And because you know that you know what the Bible teaches, it produced within your heart faith. And that faith would lead you to repent, to confess that Christ is the Son of God and be baptized. And if we've allowed Satan to influence us through the flesh, and have failed to study our Bibles, and have lived so as to bring dishonor to the glory of God and the church, and it's known about publicly, then we ought to renounce that today and start over living and studying and growing so that our faith will be our own.